Hey, the last time we learned Saita was a while ago. We left off at the beginning of the second parak. If the husband is choshed his wife that she was being mizana, so the Torah says if there was kinu yastira that we learned in the beginning, the opening Mishnah, kinu means he was masra, he warned the wife, al tistiri mishplaini, he's choshed her business, and then there was stira, she went in with that pliny into a private room. So then the dinis has to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and they bring a special minchas soito and have to write the Megillah soito. The kohen makes the swear that she was not mizana, and if she was mizana, she accepts upon herself the punishment oinish ben hashamayim that she should die misa mishuna. And then they erase the Megillah Soito, they erase all of the ink into a cup of water. She has to drink the Maim Hamarim. So it's unclear, that's what Tosis points out over here. There are a few things that are unclear. It's unclear 100% what the Seder Hadvarim is. Which one do you do first? Do you erase the Megillah Soito, the words written on the Megillah Soito, in the Maim Hamarim first, or do you bring the Mincha Soita first? So the Gemara is going to happen to discuss that here. So the first piece of Gemara in the Perek happens to be a chunk from Maseches Menachos. It talks about a Mincha in general. So the Mishnah compares and contrasts Mincha Soita to Menachos in general. Who has to pay for this Mincha that they bring? The husband pays. The din is the husband has to bring, let's say the wife is Machal Shabbos B'Shoigek, so she's Chayv Chattas. If the wife accepts upon herself a neder, to bring 5,000 Korbanos Oilo to the Beis HaMikdash, the husband is not Mechuyiv to pay for the wife. The wife has a Mishigas, she starts accepting the Dor Manashia. So the husband is not Mechuyiv to pay for that. But if the wife has a baby and she's Mechuyiv to bring a Korban, so the din is that the husband is Mechuyiv to pay for the Korban. Or if she became a soita, and the Torah is mechayiv a soita, has to bring a mincha soita, so the husband has to pay for the korban. So the Mishnah says, "Hoyameivias minchasa." Rashi says, "Who? Who? He brought the mincha. Who?" So Rashi says, "The husband." Habal, the hedias korbano oleho, the husband has to pay for the mincha. Hoyameivias minchasa betuch kfifa mitzris. He brings the korban mincha to the Beis HaMikdash in a wicker basket. In a basket made from wood, not made from this kind of wood. This is not even wood, huh? Yeah. Not made from a solid piece of wood like this, like a wicker basket, cheap wood, inexpensive wood. V'noisna al yodeho, and then they make her schlep around. They schlep around the soita and the Beis HaMikdash, one place to the other. Why kidei liyago? In order to knock her out. Why do we want to knock her out? In case she's putting on an act, she really knows that she's guilty, that she sinned, and if she's going to drink the mom, she's going to die misa mishuna. So we don't want her to die. We want her to confess. We want her to admit that she's guilty, so she shouldn't go through with the rest of the procedure. So we want kedei liyago. We want to knock her out a little bit, that in case if she's innocent, she's innocent. So we don't want to force her to give a confession that's not true. In case she's guilty, so we wanted to admit it, and that's the end of the story. So the Mishnah now tells you the contrast between Mincha Soito as opposed to all other menachos. Kol ha-menachos, all the other karbonis mincha, tchilosim esoifam b'klishoris. When you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring it in the first place in the klishoris. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. What are you talking about? Where is the pit? What, I bring a mincha. I come from, I live in Hebron, and I travel to Yerushalayim, and I stay in a hotel, and I bring a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash. Where did I get a klisharis from? What, in the hotel they have klisharis? In the stores, they don't sell klisharis. So the Gemara is going to explain, it doesn't mean in a klisharis. It means you bring it in a metal kli, which is roy, to serve as a klisharis, if it would belong to Hegdash. But you don't bring it in a klisharis. So it says, kol ha-menachos, a normal mincha, any other mincha other than mincha soito, when you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it in a silver container, in a metal container that's roy for klisharis. The soifa miklisharis, soifa means the balabas brings the mincha in a metal container, then you transfer it to a real klisharis, a metal container that's a real, that has kedushas klisharis. And then the Kohen is able to do the Kmitza. Then he does the Kmitza and he takes the Kohimitz in his fist and he throws it into another Klisharis. You have to have two Klisharis. One Klisharis which contains the Mincha that you do the Kmitza from a Klisharis, then the Kohimitz is separate from the Shirayim, from the Shiori HaMincha, then the Kohen takes the Kohimitz and he puts it into a second Klisharis. The Zu, as opposed to Mincha Soito, is different. When you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring it in a wicker basket. Not at all, not even this kind of wood. Not even a normal wooden basket. A cheap, cheap wooden basket. A wicker basket. Only Sofa B'Klisharis. Before the Kohen does the Kmitza, then you have to transfer it to a real bona fide Klisharis. And then he can begin to do the Kmitza. What's another contrast? So this is really a contrast between the Hachana, the preparation of the Mincha before the Seder HaKrovas HaMincha begins. That normally when you bring a Mincha, when a Balabos brings a Mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, he brings it in a metal kli which would be roy to serve as a klisharis. Now the Mishnah is going to give contrasts in the actual Mincha itself. Kol HaMenachos Tu'una Shemen HaLevayna. A normal Mincha needs Shemen. You have to mix it. Mincha Blul B'Shemen. And you need levina, you need psamim that you're going to burn on the mizbech. V'zu, here the pasuk says you're not allowed to. Ein atuna lo shemen v'lo levina. Torah says that the minchas kenoz, you're not allowed to mix it with shemen, you're not allowed to bring any levina. Another contrast is kol ha-menachos bos menachitim, a normal mincha. All the other menachos that are described in parshas Vayikra and Tzav comes from wheat, ground up wheat that you make flour from. You bring it from barley. Barley is Michael Behema. Is this the one and only Mincha that comes from barley? So the Mishnah continues to say no. Mincha Soimer. On the first day, Chalamait Pesach, in addition to the Tmidim Umasafim, you bring a Mincha Soimer. So the Mincha Soimer has to be from Soirim, from barley. On Shavuos, you bring a special carbon. I don't think so. I think it has to be from Sarim. Shtei Alechem has on Shavuos they bring on Shavuos the Shtei Alechem is a special mincha. It's like a mincha that has to be davka chitin, but the mincha soimer has to be davka saorim. That's the poshut pshat. I think so. So the Mishnah says, first the Mishnah says, all other menachos come from wheat, except for Zu, for the Mincha Soito Bo, Minasam comes from barley. So that's not exactly 100% accurate. All the other menachos in the world are wheat, so the Mishnah continues, no, Mincha Soim is also Minasa Orim. But it's still not the same as a Mincha Soito. Mincha Soim, Afal Pishibo, Minasa Orim, even though it comes from barley, he hoisa bo geris. Geris caramel means that it's ground up well, fine, and they remove all of the psolas. However, vizu, the minchas soto, is boa kemach. You grind it up with the shell, and you leave everything in. You don't sift out the shell. With the coarse part, that's called kemach. Why does the Torah require that the minchas soto should be davke minchas saorim? Barley is machal behemah. So the Tani gives a drosha. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, he gives a time of the crop. I got it. Gishem shemaseh, maise behema, kach kabana maichel behema. We're choshed that the woman had an affair with someone other than her husband. That's like behemas. Behemas don't have an institution of marriage, so they can keep on switching partners today. One behema, tomorrow different behema, and so on. So this woman is acting like a behema. She's married to the husband. She's having an affair with someone else. So since she did a maisa behema, so karbana should be from barley, michael behema. The Gemara comments on the first line in the Mishnah that we have the isha soita, we schlep her around, we make her hold the mincha soita in her hands, and we schlep her around from one location to the other, to the other, to the other, in the Beis HaMikdash kedei liyago, in order to knock her out. Why are we interested in knocking her out? Tanya Abba Chananoi Mem Shem Rab Lezer, he explains the reason why, kedei liyago, kedei shetachsa bo, in order that she should, in the event that she's guilty, we don't want to pressure her to give an admission, but in the event that she's guilty, so we don't want her to die in Misa Mishuna, so she'll admit that she's guilty, so we won't have a drink to my mom or...
So now the Gemara has a comment al derech ha'agodam. If the rabbis have rachmanis on the woman who's guilty, we don't want her to die in Mesa Mishum. We'd rather have her get divorced than go marry someone else. We don't want her to die. Im kocha chosa Torah alori retoinai. If we're concerned about the woman who was an Eshes Ishes in, so if there would have been Edim Hasra, she would have gotten the death penalty. But there were no Edim. There was no Hasra, there were no Edim. So she doesn't deserve the death penalty. So if the Torah has Rachmanis im kocha chosa ha-Torah, if the Torah, if the Chachamim, if the Mishnah says we should be concerned about saving the life of the Bali Havere, so it should be Kalvachaymer Aloysa Ritzaino, should be a Kalvachaymer for those who keep mitzvahs that the Rabbanu Shalom wants to keep them alive. There is an interesting discussion in Hilchos Shabbos. The thing is that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. So what if, let's say, the one who's deathly sick and you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life, why is Pikuach Nefesh Deicha Shabbos? Why is it Deicha Kalatar Kula? Huh? B'chai Behem means that the Rabbanu Shalom feels a Jewish life is so cherished. The Rabbanu Shalom wants all the Jewish people to live on. So what if this fellow runs around with married women? We know that he's Baal Eishes Ish. We know that he practices Mishkav Zocher. We know that he does averus for which he deserves the death penalty. So now he's deathly sick. Are we allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life? The whole idea behind Pikuach Nefesh, Deicha Shabbos, is that the Rabbanu Shalom cherishes every Jewish life, but the Rabbanu Shalom wants this man to die. No, if you do tshuva, you still get the death penalty. Tshuva is good for the Bezon Shalmaila, but it doesn't help for the Bezon Shalmata. So since, let's say, if the fellow does an aver for which he deserves the death penalty, so the Rabbanu Shalom wants him to die, so how can you say that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos? So the Mishnah Brura quotes this, I think, from the Prima Godin. If you know that the fellow is an avarian, he's a balavera, that he deserves a Mises Bezdin, so then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. Because you can't say the Torah cherishes every Jewish life. So remember, Moshe Feinstein had a son-in-law who passed away at a very young age, Rav Shizgal. So I remember he was a very humble person. So he could have been my father. He was old enough to be my father. So he always used to speak with Bnei Yeshiva with the biggest Derech Eretz, as if we're Chavrusas. So I remember on one occasion I met him at a wedding. So he was telling me he doesn't understand this Mishnah Brura. Because bottom line, we live as Manazah, there is no Sanhedrin. We're not giving any din in the Farshas. There was no Hasra. There were no Edim. So what do you mean? We all know that he's running around with Eishes Ishin. We all know that he violates Mishkav Zohar. But you can't say that Rabbanu Shalom wants this man dead. He doesn't want him dead. We live in a generation where there is no Mrs. Bezdin. He should be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. That was his taina against the Mishnah Brura. Anyway, the Gemara says, HaTorah Choso, Aloi Veritzainai. Rabbanu Shalom cherishes even the lives of the Bali Avera. Kalachamei cherishes the lives of the Oisei Ritzainai for sure. Freg the Gemara, that's what it says in the Brisa. That's what the Tanakh comments. Abachonanai Mishim Rablazer. The reason why we want to knock her out is in order that if, in the event that she's guilty, she should admit it and she shouldn't have to die. We want to save her life. Maybe we're concerned not so much about the chiyus of the Adam, maybe we're concerned about mechikas Hashem, because when you write the shvuas ha-soita, when the kohen makes the soita swear, she has to pronounce Shem Hashem in the Shavu, Yitan Hashem Maisach Li'olah V'l'Shavu, and so on. And then the Kohen has to write down in the Megillah Soita, word for word, the Shavuos HaSoita that she took, that she said. So when you erase the Megillah Soita, you're erasing Shem Hashem. So the Gemara points out that this is an exception to the rule. Usually that's an Avera Chamur, L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Elokechem. It says when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we should chop down all the Asheris and we should destroy all the Bati Avodah Zarah. The Ibaratim Hashemam and Amokamahu, we should destroy the whole Zecher of Avodah Zarah. Then the next pasuk says, L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Elokechem. So the Gemara says, L'Sasin Kein goes on everything. You're not allowed to be Noitet Zevim Men Amzbech. It says, V'nitatzta Mizbechoysam. You should destroy the Mizbechoys that were made for Avodah Zarah, L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Elokechem, Asar L'Noitet Zevim Men Amzbech. And then it says also, V'ibaratim Hashemam, so L'Sasin Kein. So one who erases Shem Hashem is over this Aver of L'Sasin Kein L'Hashem Elokechem. That's what the Rambam quotes the Gemara Shavuos, that the resigned shame is shein and nimchokim. The shame Hashem, Shakai, Tzvokas, Kael, Elokim, Yudke Vovke, Aleph Dalud Nun Yud. There are seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. So the Rambam says, if you erase one letter from the Shem Hashem, from one of the Zayin Shem, Shem Nimchokim, you get Malkus. So that's based on the Pasuk of Losasin Kein Losham Lokechen, because right before Losasin, it says, V'ibartim Hashmam Min Amok Mahu Losasin Kein Losham Lokechen. So that's considered an Aver Hamura to erase Shem Hashem. Here the Torah says, in order to bring Shalom Bais between the husband and the wife, so the Rabban Shalom allows you and requires of you, you should erase the Shavuos HaSoita that's written on the Megillah Soita and do Mechikas Hashem. So Rabban Shalom allows you and requires of you to erase Shem Hashem in order lahatel Shalom Benish Liishta. Freg the Gemara, maybe the reason why we insist, we schlep around the Soita from one location to the other in the Beis HaMikdash Kedei L'Yago in order to knock her out that she should admit it, Ve'ezok that we'hatorah chaso aloi ve'ritzoinai, that the Rabban Shalom loves every Jewish life, even a balavera, even a balasavera. Maybe it's a different reason. The Rabban Shalom doesn't want his name to be erased. Maybe it's for religious reasons, not be'adam lachaver. Freg di gemara, umimai, mishum de chaso hu. Ve'ezok that the reason why kedei liyaga. We want the woman to admit there's an order that if she'll admit, she won't have to drink the maimamam, she won't die. Maybe because we're concerned, we don't want to erase the Megillah. We want to avoid Mechikas Shem Hashem. And for the Gemara, apparently this Tana who made the comment, Abachon and Oimer, Mishim Rab Lezer, he is of the opinion there is a Machlekes HaTanaim. Which one do you do first? Do you erase the Megillah first, or do you bring? And for the Gemara, Kasava, this Tana is of the opinion. Mashke v'chakach makor v'es menchosa. The din is that this is a miracle. This is a miracle that she's going to die. It's not poisonous. When you erase ink in a cup of water, it doesn't taste good. And you have a little sand, v'lokach hakoy mikarka mishka, you have to mix in a little sand. It's maim hamorim, it doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. There's no reason why she should die. It doesn't taste good. So it's a miracle. If she's guilty, it's a miracle she's going to die. And if she's innocent, it's a miracle. It's promised either way, that she's going to have a baby. In case she didn't have children in the past, a miracle will occur. She will have children in case she had children in the past, but she had difficult labors, and now the labor will be easier. So whichever way, whether she's innocent or guilty, the Torah promises a miracle. This is the one and only place in the whole Chumash where the Torah promises a miracle, l'doros, that if you have the Seder of Soita is followed, so the Torah promises if she's guilty, a miracle will occur. If she's innocent, the miracle will occur. So the miracle only occurs if she has to drink the Maim HaMarim, and you have to also have brought the Mincha Soita.
Shemitah, when the Rosh Hashanah promises 3 years of reward,
also a miracle. True. Yeah, Urim Betumim is a nevuah. Yeah, okay. That's a nevuah. Okay. It's true. Yeah. But here we rely on the neis. Here we rely. The husband is allowed to live with his wife on the assumption that it's nizbara, that she's tahira.
It seems like such an immediate thing to do when you don't know that they're guilty. It's tough to do. The whole process is the meat.
Sure, it's the meat.
We don't know if she's guilty.
Well, she's guilty of doing something wrong because we have witnesses who say that the husband warned her altistery in Mishploni. So maybe the husband is paranoid. Maybe the husband is hamashugana. But then she went ahead and she did stira. Now, stira is not necessarily an iser. Let's say the husband is choshed, she's having an affair with her father. There's no iser yichud, a woman with her father. Stira is not necessarily identical with the iser yichud. It's different. Bein lahakal, bein lahachim. That's what we pointed out when we first started the Masechta. Stira, let's say, baila ba'ir. If the husband is in town, so there's no prohibition of yichud. But even though it's baila ba'ir, there's no prohibition of yichud. If the husband warned his wife, I don't want you to be alone with Ploini because I'm cheshed that you're having an affair. So she's not allowed to be alone with him. There's no isa yichud, but if she'll be alone with him, it'll be stira. She'll become asur al baila. So she did do something wrong because the husband didn't warn her in advance. Husband may be at the dreita meshugana, he may be paranoid. But she knows that she has such a crazy husband, so she shouldn't have had stira with this fellow that the husband is choshed her with. Or if she knows that the husband is choshed, she's having an affair with her father, with her brother, even though there's no isa yichud, but now the husband is choshed her, so let her not have stira. Let her go, let her only be with the father if there are other people in the room. It's only called stira if they go into the room together, alone, there's no one else there in the room. We pointed out, the Balatayn points out, there's another difference between stira and yichud. Let's say you have an office and you have 50 people working in the office. Comes the end of the day, 5:30, 6:30. So one by one everybody leaves, and there are two people left behind in the office, a man and a woman. They didn't walk into the office together. They walked in the morning at 9 o'clock. They walked into the office. The end of the day, at 5:30, there were only two people left. So that's called yichud, but that's not called stira. That's an issue of yichud. If it's by labir, there won't be an issue of yichud. If it's her brother, so there won't be an issa yichud. But that's not called stir. It's only called stir if the two of them go into the room together. Then it's called stir. So in that sense, stir needs more than the yichud. So the Gemara is asking, how did the Tana B'chonin is quoting in the name of Rav Lezer, the reason why we want Kedei Liyago, we want her to knock her out a little bit, in case she's guilty, she should admit it. Why are we interested in her admitting it? So the Tana, Rabbi Chana quotes in the name of the Tana Reblazer, HaTorah Chosa Al Chai Yisrael. Torah has Rachmanis even on the Ovi Ritzana, she shouldn't die, Amisa Mishuna, she should live. The Rabbanu Shalom wants even the sinners to live, and they should do tshuva. Pregamar Vezok, that the reason why Kedei Liyago, she should admit, is in order that she shouldn't die. Maybe it's in order that you shouldn't do Mechikas Hashem. So the Gemara says, no, this Tana, obviously, this Abba Chanan Oimer, Mishim Rab Lezer, he's of the opinion that we already did the Mechikas Hashem. The miracle of dying is only going to occur if she drank the Maim Amorim, plus they brought the Mincha Soito. So if you hold that first, you already did the Mechikas Hashem. You already did Mechikas Hashem. She already drank the Maim Amorim. But still a miracle, so you already violated Mechikas Hashem, so already Lachar HaMaisa, and still we give her the Mincha Soit and we schlep her around from one place to the other. We're not going to spare the Mechikas Hashem. She already drank the Maim Amorim. We're just going to spare that she shouldn't die, because by drinking Maim Amorim, the miracle is only going to happen if they bring the Mincha Soit. It's not poisonous. It's not that the water is poison. Once she drank it, she's going to die. It's not poisonous. It's a miracle that's promised. The miracle only is going to happen if, number one, she drinks the Maim Amorim, and number two, the Mincha Soita is brought. So the Gemara says, obviously, this Tana is of the opinion, Mashke, first he has the woman, the Kohen has the woman drink the Maim Amorim first, V'chakach Makaris Minchosa. So you cannot say that the reason why we want Kedei Liyago, we wanted to admit that she's guilty, is in order to prevent Mechikas Hashem. We already did it. If we're concerned, if the reason why we wanted to admit is that we shouldn't have to erase the Shem Hashem, obviously that's what motivated the Tana to think that the reason why we want Kedei Liyago is to save her life. So that's what the Gemara points at, this one point of Machlekes. Which comes first? That's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Whether you first erase the Megillah Soit and have a drink in Mashke v'chakach makve minchosa, or first makve minchosa v'chakach mashke. And then Tosis, the beginning of the Perek, says there are a lot of other issues that were not clear. Which is the Seder Asiyas HaSoit, whether this comes first or that comes first. Everything is unclear. The Gemara only points out one thing is unclear, and Tosis points there are a few other additional things that are unclear. Then the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to take apart the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Kol ha-menach, all other, in contrast to all other menachos, kol ha-menachos tchilas ha-mesof and bikli sharis. When the Balabas brings the mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, when he enters the Beis HaMikdash, he brings it in a kli sharis. As opposed to over here, he does not, the husband does not bring it in a kli sharis, he brings it in a kfifa mitzvahs, in a wooden wicker basket. Craig Markasha, Naimaisa. Where is he going to get? How's the Balabas get a klisharis to bring a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash? The klisharis on the Beis HaMikdash. Craig, the Gemara, Ureminhu, we have a contradiction. There's a long Tosefta that gives you the whole Seder Hadvarim of a normal mincha. Seder Menachas Ketzad. How does one proceed to bring a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash? Oda Mevi Mincha Mitoch Beiso.
A balabas brings a mincha. Let's say he lives in Yerushalayim, he lives in the Hebron, wherever he lives. He brings a mincha from his home. The kalsos in a basket in a container shall kesef ishal zahav. And then once he's in the Beis Hamikdash, he transfers it v'noistan d'toch klisharis u'mekatsha b'klisharis. But he doesn't bring it in a klisharis. Where's he going to get it? Klisharis are in the Beis Hamikdash. He brings it in a chulendike basket. Kalsu shal kesef ishal zav. Then he pours it into a klisharis. That's the Gemara's kasha. But till they're going to comment on the kasha, so they quote the rest of the brice. Yeah, here it's interesting. There's a Mishnah in Menachos that starts HaMenachos HaNesachim. The name of the perek is HaMenachos HaNesachim. The Mishnah has like this. If you're Magdish, let's say, a behemah, I say this should be a Kor Mishlamim. This should be a Korban Oilah. This should be, I can't volunteer a Chatas unless someone is Mechuyv a Chatas. So let's say he knows he was Machal Shabbos B'Shoigig, he ate Chela V'dam B'Shoigig. So he says, HaReze Elechatosi, it's Mafresh. Or he's chayv an osham for whatever reason, one of the six hashamas. So he says this should be an osham. So the minute that he says this should be a chatas, this should be an oiler, this should be a korban pesach, it becomes right away kedushas haguf lamizbeach, and it has no pidyon, unless it gets a mum. Or let's say a person wants to donate oilas ha'oif, or the person is mechuyev. Let's say chatas oif. In oifis you don't have shlamim and taida and everything. You only have two korbanas, either oilas oif. Achatasoif, that's all. So a person brings his magdish b'peh, oilasoif, chatasoif, the minute he makes the kedushas peh, he gets right away kedushas haguf lamizbeach. And it doesn't have any pidyon. The din is that a behemah has no pidyon either. Once it gets kedushas haguf lamizbeach, a behemah has no pidyon until it gets a mum kavua. And oaf, there is no din a mum. There is no din. The Gemara says, Tamas v'zachas b'behemahs, vein Tamas v'zachas b'oifas. By Korbanus Behem, it always says it has to be Tmima, has to be Tomim Belimum. By Yoifus, there is no din that a Balmum is possible. So there's never any possibility to be Paida. Even if it gets a mum, you can't be Paida. So that's why the din is that. But if someone is Magdish and Oil Soif or Chata Soif, so it's never Yotzel Lechulim, even if it gets a mum Kavua, because the mum doesn't possible, so there's no Chalashem of a Balmum Kavua on it. And there's no din achatus always has to be in a keva, always has to, an oila always has to be a zocher. That's only by behemoth. Chatas behemoth should be an a keva, and an oila's behemoth has to be a zocher. When you bring a chatas soif or an oila soif, there is a difference between a male and a female bird, but the halacha doesn't distinguish. The Gemara has the comment, Tamas v'zachas b'behemoth vein Tamas v'zachas b'behemoth. Does mean there's no difference between male and female. There is a difference, but there's no difference la'alocha. A chatasoif can be either zachar or nekeva, and an oilasoif can be either zachar or nekeva. So the requirement of tamas v'zachrus, that the behema has to be a tmima, and then sometimes has to be dafka zachar, sometimes dafka nekeva. A chatas has to be dafka nekeva, an oil has to be dafka zachar, that's only by behemas. By yoifas, there's neither a din of tamas, nor a din of zachrus, neither din.
What do you do with the yogurt?
You makrev it. You can. That's the din. Tamas was zachas beimis vein. Tamas was zachas beifer. There's no psula balmum, so therefore there's no pidyon.
If you see an obvious mum, broken wing or broken leg or whatever it is,
it's okay, unless it's mechusar aver. The din is that by oif, if it's mechusar aver, if the eye is plucked out, mamish missing an aver, then mechusar aver is possible by oif also. But that's not a din of balmum. It's not that you need a bigger mum. It's possible. No, it's a puzzle. If you have to wait till it dies and then you bury it, you can't be makrev if it's mechusar aver. If it's just a balmum, not mechusar aver, then you makrev it the way it is. If it's mechusar aver, then you cannot be makrev it. But it's not a psula balmum. It's not that if it's mechusar aver, it's a bigger mum and then it's puzzle. There is no din of mum by yoifus. So here the Mishnah is like this. Let's say a person sets aside $500 to bring a korban shlamim. So the $500 doesn't have kedusha aguf lamizbeach. You can't be makrev of the $500 bill or a check for $500. That has kedusha damim lamizbeach. Well, let's say a person sets aside an elephant. He says, with this elephant, I'm going to auction off the elephant, and the money is going to go towards buying a korban shlamim, towards buying a korban oilo. So the elephant has a kedusha damim lamizbeach. It's not Berek Abayis. The Berek Abayis is a different fund. Berek Abayis is for the purpose of fixing up the walls and the ceiling and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Berek Abayis. In Kedushas Mizbeach, the money goes towards bringing Korban. So within Kedushas and Mizbeach, there are two categories. There's Kedusha Aguf LaMizbeach and Kedusha Azdamin LaMizbeach. So if you set aside an animal which itself can be Korev, as a Shlomim, as a Noila, as a Chatas, as a Korban Pesach, that has, whether Behema Rov has a Kedusha Aguf LaMizbeach. If you set aside money, or you set aside an elephant, or you set aside a table, or an automobile, and say, I want to be magdish the automobile, that it should go towards the korban shlomim. Means you take the automobile and you auction it off to the highest bidder, and all the money goes to buy a korban shlomim. That's called kedushas damim lamizbeach. Kedushas damim lamizbeach. So the Mishnah in the end of Menachah says that by korbanis behema and off, the minute you make the kedushas peh, I say hareza shlomim, hareza oila, hareza korban pesach, whatever, right away it gets a kedusha guf lamizbeach. As opposed to Menachas and Nesachim, if someone sets aside a sack of flour and he wants to bring it as a Korban Mincha, or he sets aside wine, he wants to bring it L'Nasach Al-Gabi HaMizbeach, so that only gets a Kedushas Domim LaMizbeach. Calls man, you didn't put it into a Klisharis. A Menachas van Nesachim is a Kitcha B'Kli. Before you put it in a Klisharis, it only has Kedushas Domim LaMizbeach, and it lends itself to Pidyon. It doesn't yet have a Kedusha Guf LaMizbeach. You have to have dafke kedushas kli. So that's what the Mishnah says. Haimevias minchasa. The husband brings the mincha on behalf of the wife. And then it says, sofam b'klisharis. You have to put it in the klisharis. So the simple reading of Rashi sounds like he says, the mitzvah is that the husband should put it in the klisharis. And the Gemara on the base is quoting the Seder Menachas, Tosef, the paragraph of the Menachas, saying the Menachas, ketzad oda mevi mincha mitoch beiso. The nois non the tach klisharis. It sounds like the balabas, the one who's donating the mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, is a mitzvah bo yosem b'mishluche. He should put the mincha into the klisharis. He can't do the kmitza. If I'm not a kohen, I can't do the kmitza. I can't do the... After you do the kmitza, then you put it into a klisharis. These are already avodas that have to be done by a kohen. So if the one who's donating the mincha, he may be es minchasai, is Nishkin Koyin, he can't do those things that are Avaidus. But to put the Mincha in a Klisharis, that's not an Avaida. So since it's possible for him to do that, so it seems, that's how the Netziv points out on the Rashi here. It seems that we would assume Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha. So when you bring a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are Dalar Avaidus Hadam that are Le'ikuva, and every Korban Behema, you need Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika. So Shchita Ksheira Bizar. Shchita doesn't require a koyin. Shchita is nishken avoida. The Kabbalah, the halacha, the zrika, those are the Kabbalah v'yelach mitzvahs kuhuna. Kabbalah Saddam already needs a koyin. So, if I'm not a koyin, I can't do the Kabbalah halacha zrika. I have to have a koyin do it for me. But the shchita is theoretically possible for me to do. So we would recommend mitzvah bo yosem and mishluchai. You should do the shchita yourself. And if you bring a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, you should put the mincha into the klisharis yourself. Hayameviyas minchasa, noisin the toch klisharis. You should put it in the klisharis. Because since it's kosher bizarre, that first step of putting into a klisharis doesn't require a kohen. So why should you ask someone else to do it? Do it yourself. Mitzvah bo yosem b'shluchai. That's what you get the impression from the opening Rashi. Hayameviyas minchasa, the husband, that the husband should put it into the klisharis. And this Tosefta Menachas also says, "Say the Menachas Kate, so other maybe Mincha b'toch Beisa v'noisna l'toch Klisharis." Sounds like the Bal HaKarban, the Bal HaMincha, should put it into the Klisharis. When he puts it into Klisharis, that's when it's elevated. Kozman, you have a bottle of wine that you want to be Menasach on the Mizbech, or you have a sack of flour, and you designate Hareza Kodesh. I want to bring in as a mincha, I want to bring in as nesech. So it only has kedushas damim lamizbech. It lends itself to pidyon. If the gizbah wants to auction it off to the highest bidder, no problem. But once you put it into the klisharis, then it acquires a kedushas aguf lamizbech, then it doesn't lend itself to pidyon. Only if it gets a mum. Mum is only by behemoth. There is no concept of mum by menachas and sochim. So the menachas and sochim, once it has a kiddush kli, it simply doesn't have any pidyon. Look, just like by oifas. Oifas, the Gemara says, have no pidyon. Because no chaloshem mum kavua by a knife.
So im kacha b'klisharis, is a separate operation.
That's the Gemara. Yes, shteitach shayim v'noisna l'toch klisharis. Then it's another step, and mekatcha b'klisharis. The same thing. The Gemara asks, why does it say twice? The bala korban, the bala mincha, should put it in klisharis. It should be mekatish in klisharis. Isn't it the same thing? The Gemara is going to comment on.
Huh? The koyan is mekatcha.
No, the zar, the bala korban, the just like by korban behema, we say mikabola v'yelach mitzvahs kuna. So here we say mikmitza v'yelach mitzvahs kuna. Anything that's before the kmitza is kosher bizar. So since it's kosher bizar, so the pashtus is that we say mitzvah bal yesh mishluch. It's preferable that the bala korban himself should put it into the klisharis. The kmitza is parallel to the shechita. Okay. It's not the same as far as that detail is concerned. But the kmitza is parallel to the shechita in the following sense. Because kmitza has to be done begufa shel kohen. You can't do it with a kli. So the kohen's fingers have a special kedusha that the zar's fingers do not have. So that's why the kmitza needs a kohen. But kmitza is parallel to shechita in that what is the nature, how would you define the nature of the avoid of shechita? Shechita kabbalah halach is rika, the dalar avoid is adam dara ma'akev. Haktaris emurim is not mi'akev. Smicha, that you have to lean on the karm, is also not mi'akev. These dalar avoid is a ma'akev. Shechita kabbalah halach is rika. How would you define shechita? I would have defined shechita like in Yeridei, hilcha shechita. So it says wrong. That's not the definition of shechita as an avoida. Shechita as an avoida means to be mevare chelak avoya, to separate the dam which is going to be nizrak on the mizbeach from the rest of the behemah. So that's what kemitza is. Kemitza, you mevare chelak avoya. You take out the komet which is going to be korev on the mizbeach, and whatever is left is the shiori hamincha that's nechel by the zichri kuna in the azar. So that's why we say that kemitza in the mincha is parallel to the shechita, parallel in the sense that the hatzara shavusha behem, that you mevarech el gavoya, you've separated the dam that's going to be nizik on the mizbech from the rest of the animal by shechita. The definition of shechita by chulin is this is the correct way to kill the animal. We assume it has less tzar balichaim. This is the correct way to kill the animal. By shechita of an avoida, by karbon, is not the correct way to kill the animal. It's the correct way to separate the dam which you're going to be zarek on the mizbech. It happens that it corresponds to hilcha shechita, but it's not the same definition. It's not that you're killing the animal. Yeah, that you do kill the animal.
The Baal is bringing car causing,
right? The Mishnah is going to say later that it's his carbon also. Let's say he's a kohen and she's not a kohenis. So minchas kohen, you don't do kmitza. It says kaminchas kohen kolum tokta. Normal person brings a carbon, a Levi or Yisrael brings a carbon, mincha, so the kohen does kmitza, he burns the kohen on the mizbech, and the shirayim, the shiori ha-mincha, necholim to the zichr kun and the azor. What if a kohen brings a carbon, he's the bala mincha, so it says you don't do kmitza and only burn the kohen, it says, kol minchas kohen, kol el toktor, you burn the whole carbon. So what's going to be the din over here? Let's say the husband is a kohen, and his wife is Nishkin Kohenes, and he brings a Mincha Saito. So I think the Mishnah is going to discuss it somewhere the end of the third parak. I don't remember already where. Maybe the end of the third parak is going to be discussed. I think he's also partly the Balakorban, not just the wife. Yeah, it's going to be the end of the third parak. Should be a Chav Gimel. They're going to talk about it.
And I should say someone else came.
Yeah.
So this, it means that he himself is not Mekadosh. That's a Kele is Mekadosh.
This is, the Gemara is going to discuss. It says, V'noisna l'toch klishores, u'mekatcha b'klishores, two different steps. What do you mean two different steps? So the Gemara is going to discuss, klishores, only Mekadosh midas, or it's even Mekadosh olam midas. Let's say, I took a mincha, I put in the klisharis, I wasn't even thinking, I didn't even realize that it was a klisharis. They say when the mincha, the menachas and the sachim need kiddush kli, when it happens to be located in a klisharis, it's automatically kaddish
Kedusha Guf Lamizbech. How do you say no? You have to put it in, you have to have in mind. So the simple reading of this Tosefta, that it has twice, two verbs, V'noistan L'tok L'sharis, V'mekachav L'sharis, means you have to put it in, and you have to have in mind, you have to have in zin, I want the klisharis to be Mekadosh. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Tosach HaMachlekes HaTanoim, where the Kiddush klisharis is only Midas, or even Shalom Midas. How do you read the Braisa? The Gemara is going to say, no, that's what it means. You put it in the klisharis, in order that the klisharis should be Mekadosh. You shouldn't necessarily make a deal over here. It could be that it's not two steps. Noisn the tok lisharis, then you have to have in zin and mekacha be klisharis. Could be noisn lisharis, amanas lekacha. And mele it's going to become kaddish. The Gemara is going to raise that issue. And then it continues describing a regular mincha. The mincha seita is not like this. Mincha seita is a little different. This is a normal mincha. Seita menachas ketzer is a normal mincha. So the Brisa continues on the first white line. By normal mincha, by mincha soita, you don't put no shemen and no levaina. By normal mincha, you put a lot of shemen, and you have to have levaina b'samim that you're going to burn. Umalicha etzal hakoyin, you give it to the kohen. The putting in the klishar is that the bala karbin can do himself, even though he's not a kohen, because that's not an avoida. But malicha etzal kohen, and then the kohen starts doing all the rest of the things that are avoidas. So it says the first thing the kohen does before the kmitza. The kmitza is parallel to shechita. Then the kohen is supposed to take the kaimis and put into another klisharis. He does kmitza from a klisharis. He has to take the kaimis and throw into another klisharis to be mekadoshet. So that's parallel to kabbalah sadam. When you shech the korban, so you have to be mekabbalah dam in a klisharis. The Kabbalah Saddam is Mekadosh the Dam. What do you mean? The Gemara is going to say, what do you mean Mekadosh the Dam? The whole animal is already a Korban Shlamim, a Korban Chatas, a Korban Pesach. What do you mean? You have to be Mekabbalah Dam in a Klisha. The Gemara says, you need a Kiddush on top of a Kiddush, even though the whole animal has Kedushas Korban. And then when you designate the animal, Hareza Shlamim, Hareza Chatas, Hareza Oila, it already has a Kedusha Guf Lamizbech. Then when you shecht it, it gets a deeper Kedusha. The Gemara's lashon is sakan the kaddish. Means when you do the shechita sakarbin, it's elevated to a higher level of kedusha. And with those two levels, when you made the kedusha sped, already has kedusha aguf lamizbech. When you shechted, shechita is the first avoda, so it gets even a deeper kedusha. And you still have to be mekabel adam and klishares to be able to be zoriket on the mizbech. So that's already a third mekaddish. Kedusha sped is the first mekaddish. Then you have the sakan, the shechita. The avodah rishona is mekadosh, and then you need kabbalas adam and a klisharis. The same over here by a mincha. The mincha wasn't a klisharis to begin with. The mincha is in a klisharis. You do the kmitza while it's in the klisharis. Then you have to take the karmis, put it into another klisharis, parallel to the dam. No, maybe it doesn't become a kudish when you put it into a measuring cup, but you have to have another klisharis. No, you have to put the mincha. The din is when I designate flour as a korban mincha, only gets a kedushas damim lamizbech, still lends itself to pinyon. Then I have to put the flour into a klisharis. They say the measuring cup is not acceptable. You got to have a different cup, a different abisa. Basically, it's samachal. You have to have another cup to put it into. It has to be a metal cup that's mekudesh b'kedushas klisharis. And then you don't necessarily have to do the kmitza from that klisharis. But let's say I'll take the mincha from a klisharis. I'll pour it into a klichol, and then I'll do the kmitza from that klichol. That's not acceptable. You need kiddush hamincha in a klisharis. And then the kmitza has to be done while the mincha is in a klisharis. Doesn't necessarily have to be in the original klisharis. You can pour it from one to the other. Why should you? Why shouldn't the meshugana do that? But if you pour it into a klichol, then you do the kmitza. It's not acceptable. If you pour it from the first klisharis into a second klisharis, then the kmitza is acceptable. And after doing the kmitza, then you have to take the kmitza and put it into another klisharis. Just like Kabbalah Saddam, even though it already had two mekachim, it had the mekadosh of kedushas peh, and had the mekadosh of the
of the second Mekadesh by the Shechita by the Kabbonis, you still need a third Mekadesh. That's what the Gemara is going to point out.
The Zohar is allowed to touch it on the Shabbos?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a problem. Adarabba, we say, L'chatchila mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha. He should put the mincha in the klisharis. The husband should put it in. Ayimedi minchasa, Rashi says, the Baal. The Baal should put it in.
Right, the Azor, but the klisharis can't leave the Azor.
No, it can't take
the body. If it leaves the Azor, it doesn't have the status of klisharis. Only has the status of klisharis, calls mine, it's in the Azor. That's a Mishnah in Zvachim. That the kelim are only mikadosh mibifnim. While they're in the Azor. So then you have to bring the mincha to the koyin and the Beis HaMikdash. The koyin malicha eitzel mizbeach. The koyin takes it next to the mizbeach. When you look straight ahead in the Beis HaMikdash, when we go into shul and we dab and we face mizrach, what's halacha? Who the Beis HaMikdash? The shul has to face mizrach. We live in America, so you face when you dab and you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. When you dab and you're supposed to face Beis HaMikdash, that's the bit. Shlomo HaMelech said in the tefillah when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, "Yispalei Elecha derech habayis hazeh." Everyone should face the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah sounds like he says that that's a din deraisa. The Rambam describes what the din of tefillah used to be on the level of deraisa, and then the Chachamim changed it and they introduced Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, and then they introduced Zmanei Tefillah, then they introduced the Nusach HaTefillah. But before he gets to the changes that the introducement of Rabbanan, when he's describing the din of tefillah deraisa, the Rambam's opinion is that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day, min haTorah. And he writes, Nochach HaMikdash, you have to face the Beis HaMikdash. So today, we live in America, so Nochach HaMikdash is, we face Eretz Yisrael, we daven in Mizrach. If you live to the east of Eretz Yisrael, Adarabba, so you face Myra. If you live in South Africa, so you face north. If you live in Chispin, that's where the bas mitzvah was last week. If you live in the Golan, so you have to face Durham. You always have to, there's no din, you have to face Mizrach, you have to face the Beis HaMikdash. So the, in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're looking straight ahead, you're not facing Mizrach. When you look straight ahead, you're facing Ma'ariv. That's the way it was. So in the Mizbech, let's say, was square, approximately. The Mizbech and the Bai Sheni was Lamed, but the floor was Lamed Beisama, Lamed Beisama. It went up and it went in, went up and went in. So by the time it got to the top, it was only Chof Chesama, Chof Chesama. But on the floor, it was Lamed Beisama, Lamed Beisama. So you're looking straight ahead. So the Kohen has to take the. I bring a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm the Balabas donating the mincha. I give the klisharis. It has to be a metal klisharis. This is a paper cup. I give a metal klisharis to the coin that has the mincha in it. So the coin has to take the klisharis to this corner of the mizbeach. This is Ma'ariv, and Tzofen is the right hand side of the Azara. So this is Dorim. To the right is Tzofen. To the left is Dorim. So based on the pasuk, the Gemara is going to establish that you have to take the klisharis. You need a coin for that. That's not an Avaida. A Zar would be able to do it also, but we don't allow the Zar to walk so close to the Mizbeach. The non-Kohanim can only walk in the first 11 Amos in the Azara. And after the first 11, that's Mokam Amidus Raglei Hazarim. And after that is only Mokam Ezra's Kohanim, it's called. We only allow Kohanim to walk there. So the Din requires, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, before you do the Kmitza, you have to take the metal Klishores and have the metal Kli touch this corner of the Mizbeach. The Keren, the Chudosh al Keren, the corner that's Ma'ariv, the corner that's Dora Ma'ariv, this corner. And then after the Kohen does, that's Hagosha, Eitzel, Keren HaMizbeach, that's how the Brisa says, Malicha Eitzel HaKohen, the first white line on Yud Dalan and Beis. I give the Mincha to the Kohen, the Kohen Malicha Eitzel HaMizbeach, because the non Kohen is not allowed to walk so close. If it's a kohen bringing a carbon mincha, he can go with his own. He doesn't have to give it to a different kohen. He can take his own mincha. But you need a kohen to walk next to the mizbech. Malicha eitzel mizbech umagisha. That's called hagosha. Bekeren derom is maravis keneged chudosh al keren v'dayo dosa ginok. What do you mean dosa ginok? What more do you want him to do? He takes the kli and the klisharis that has the mincha, and he has the klisharis touch the corner. V'dayo. What do you mean v'dayo? We don't require that he should that he should tilt the kli on the side so that the flour from the mincha should touch the corner of the mizbech. It's going to spill out. You're going to be a chachm, you're going to spill out the flour. So that then doesn't even require that you should try. But dayos, again, look, it's sufficient if the kli, the outside of the kli, touches the chudosh al karen. That's enough. Umisalik, and then the kohen wants to do kmitza. So when he does the kmitza, the din is that he has to be careful. He should only take malo kumtzo misolus amincho mishamna. He shouldn't take in the komets any of the lavona. So when you bring the korban mincha to the base hamikdash, you have lavona sitting on top. You have a klisharis and you have flour on the bottom. You have a little lavona sprinkled on top. So the kohen should push all the lavona to the side. And then when he does the kmitza, he should be careful not to have any levaina in his fist at the time, because you have to have malo kumtzo misolos hamincha mishamna. Later on, after he takes the kmitza, he puts it into another klisharis, a second klisharis. So then he's supposed to collect all of the levaina in the first klisharis and put it together with the kmitza, and then to burn everything on the mizbech. Not only do you have to burn the kmitza, you have to burn all of the levaina as well. But when you do the kmitza, you have to push the levina to the side. That's how the Brisa says. Umisalik has halavina letzad echad. He has to remove all of the psamim, all of the levina to one side before he does the kmitza. The kaimitz mimakim shenisraba shamna. When you mix the flour with oil, so that it's not going to be evenly spread. So the din is that it's preferable to do the kmitza from that part of the flour that's saturated with more oil. Some parts of the flour will have shvach amount of oil. So preferable is v'kaimetz mimokim shenisrabish amna, because that's how the pasuk says v'kamatz hakayin v'lo kumtz misolto u'mishamna. You should take from that place where it's nisrabish amna. V'noisna, he takes the kaimetz v'noisna l'toch klisharis to a second klisharis u'mikatsha b'klisharis vaita, the double ocean. Before it said you put the mincha in the klisharis and mikatsha b'klisharis. Now it says you take the kaimetz, you put into a klisharis number two, mekatsha be klisharis. Same question. Why does it say two verbs? Noisna, mekatsha. Isn't it the same thing? The Gemara is going to raise the issue. And then, after he put the kaimetz in the second klisharis, he should collect all of the levaina that's in the original kli and put it together with the kaimetz, and malaketes levainosa from the first kli. V'noisna al gabov, and he puts it on top of the kaimetz in the second kli, and then what does he do? Malehu maktiro, and then he burns it on the mizbech. The loshen is very strange. Umalehu, he brings it up on top of the mizbech. Umaktiro, bikli shares. What do you mean? He takes the second kli shares and he puts it on the mizbech. No, you have to shake it out from the kli shares. You don't burn it while it's in the kli shares. You have to burn it on the mizbech. So the Gemara is going to be magia the brisa. It doesn't mean maktira b'klisharis. And then it says, umolcho. People make a mistake. They think we salt flesh in order to get out the dam. So we know there's a din, I'll call karbon chatakrit melech. You're supposed to put salt on all the karbonas. So people make a mistake. They think that you only have to salt karbonas that are flesh, because they confuse malicha by flesh, to remove the dam, to malicha by karbonas. No. There's the tupsukim. I'll call minchos chatakrit melech. There's a din, every mincha needs melech. There's no dam in the mincha. I'll call karbon chatak melech, that's by karbonis of flesh, behemoth and oifes, and I'll call minchos chatak melech, is by a korban mincha, molcho, but the malicha should be, you shouldn't do the malicha before you do the kmitza. If you put the salt in the original klishares, and then you're going to do kmitza, and part of the fistful is going to be a kor chal melech, taignish. The kmitza has to be only malo kumtza misolos hamincha mishamna. You shouldn't have in the malo kumtza neither levaina nor melech. So that's why he says, don't put the melech on until you put it on the mizbeach. Then you put the melech on. You got to put the melech on before. You may make a mistake. You may do kmitza with a kurt shal melech, and you won't be yotze the kmitza. Kmitza has to be pure solos hamincha mishamna. V'nosna al gabi ho'ishim. And then you put it on top of the fire, that it should burn. Then the din is karev hakoymetz, after the koymetz burns on the mizbeach, then shiore hanecholim, then the kohanim are permitted to eat the shiore hamincha. Kolzman that they didn't burn the koymetz yet, let's say they threw the koymetz on the mizbeach, but it didn't have a chance yet to catch flame. So then the kohanim are not allowed to eat the shiore hamincha. They have to wait till Korev HaKoimetz. The Gemara is going to discuss in exactly what moment of time is that. What is Korev HaKoimetz? How much of the Koimetz has to be burned? How well does it have to be burned? And then it says, V'rashayim HaKoanim Litan L'Techem, when the Koanim eat the Shiori HaMincha, the leftover flour, after they burn the Koimetz, so the Koanim are permitted to eat the rest of the flour. So they're permitted to mix in yayin and shemen and dvash, whatever they want. You don't mix in yayin and dvash into the mincha. There's a pasuk in Chumash, ki chosar b'chad dvash le'saktir v'menu yishal Hashem. You're going to mix in yayin and dvash into the mincha, then you're going to do kmitz and be mocked around the mizbeach. So you're over a lav and the whole carbon will be pasul. You're over a lav of s'oru dvash. But the lav of Sarat Vash is only on the Koimetz, which is Karev on the Mizbeach. The Shiori HaMincha, which the Kohanim eat, there is no din of Dvash. He can mix in all the Dvash he wants. So, or there will be a din. Sar means Chometz. So the Gemara is going to say, the Kohanim are not allowed to let the Shiori HaMincha, it's raw flour. If it's a Mincha Soilus, it's going to be raw flour. So they're not going to eat it raw. So can they mix it with water and bake it and let it develop into a ganze challah, let it become chametz? And Gemara is going to say no. The Kohanim are not permitted to allow it to become chametz. Soru dvash is put together in the pasuk, but they're different. Soor means if you let it become chametz, not only are you not allowed to have the koimetz chometz, even the shiori hamincha also can't be chometz. The Gemara is going to learn that from a pasuk.
Did you take that home with you, eat the koim, bring that home with you,
no.
And eat it in the home?
He has to eat it in the azara.
Yeah,
because it's kachi kachim. Kachi kachim. You take it outside of the azara, his nifsal b'yotze. Just like kachim kalim, if you take out of Yerushalayim, his nifsal b'yotze. Even if you bring it back, taiknish, nifsal b'yotze. So kachi kachim, a mincha is kachi kachim, it says in Chumash. If you take out of the azar, if you bring it back, it's already nifsal b'yotzi, it's pasul. Yom v'layla at chatzos. Man achila is yom v'layla, kol alayla til alos al shachar, k'de laharchi k'sodem an aveira. So the first Mishnah in Brachas sounds like it says that you should eat it by chatzos.
So how is he supposed
to eat pure flour? They cook it, they do something with it, but they have to be careful not to let it become chametz. Yeah, they have to make it into some kind of matzah.
You can throw basar in it too.
Yeah. You can mix it with other things. You can't let it become chametz, but the basha is mutter.
Believe it, if it's possible to be believe it, it's okay, even if he doesn't mix it. A royal bit, right?
On the chametz, yeah. Right. Right, when you take the mincha, so you're supposed to do matan shemen, you pour in shemen. And then you're supposed to stir it. So even if you poured the shemen and you didn't stir it, lo bolal, so the Mishnah says kosher. As long as it's roi leblila, so then the blila is not miyakeh. But the matan shemen is miyakeh. You have to pour in the shemen. True, you don't have to stir it. But the evet, if you didn't stir it, lo bolal, the Mishnah says that it's kosher, but you have to do the matan shemen. So this is a rundown. This is bekitzer, an outline of every normal mincha. So the Gemara says they quoted all of this because of the first line. Katani mios. It says in the middle of the brayse, the beginning of the brayse, that when the balabos brings the carbon mincha to the Beis Hamikdash, he brings it bekalso shel kesef or bekalso shel zahav. It doesn't say he brings it in klishares. And the Mishnah says all the other menachas outside of mincha saito, he's supposed to bring it chilosan v'soifan. The klisha is supposed to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash and the klisharis. It says not so. It says just bring in kalsha shel zohov, the kalsha shel kesef. How can it be a klisharis? Where's he going to get a klisharis in the hotel room? They don't have klisharis in the hotel. And for the Gemara, no, that's what it means. Ktani miyos, the kalsha zohov, the kalsha shel zohov. And the Mishnah says has to be klisharis. Amar apapa nein zogazoi. When the Mishnah says all other menachas, you have to bring it to the Azar and klishares. What it means is you should bring it the kelim haruim liklishares, as opposed to kfifa mitzvahs. Kfifa mitzvahs is wooden basket. It's not right to make klishares. Klishares has to be made from metal. It doesn't have to be precious metal, but it has to be metal. But if made from wood, is no good. So when the Mishnah says all other menachas, you have to bring it in a klishares, it doesn't mean that. It means you have to bring it in a metal kli, which theoretically would have been roi to serve as a klisharis. Zagdi Gemara, but that's a machlekes. What you just said is a machlekes hatanaim, whether if you make klisharis from wood, whether it's acceptable, because the Levim were divided into two groups. That's how it says in Divrei Hayom. There were mishoririm and there were shoarim. Some of them would sing, and some of them would be in charge of locking the gates and opening the gates. In the Midbar, the 40 years they were traveling in Midbar, they had Levim who had to carry Masa B'Kosef. They had to carry the Mishkan. But that was only Harosh Shoah. After the days of the Midbar, there was no longer Masa B'Kosef. And that's how the Mishnah in the first Perek in Chulin says, the Chumash has a din, a Kohen who's a Bal Mum is Pasul. Mum only Pasul's B'Kohanim. There's no Mum Pasul's B'Levim. And Shonim Pasul by Levim and Don Pasul by Kohanim. What does it say? When he reaches the age of 50, Yoshe Mitzvah Havoida, the Levi has to retire. So the Mishnah says, Shonim. So the Gemara says that's only in the Midbar. When they had to do Masa B'Kosef, if they had a Shlep, say after the age of 50, we don't have him. But Ledoiris, the Bichlal, there's no din, there's no retirement age. If he's able to sing, if he has a good voice, he let him sing. If he's able to stand guard, to lock the gates, open the gates, and stand guard in the Beis HaMikdash, there were Shomrim. There's a mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. So most of the Shmiras HaMikdash was done by Levim, and here and there they had Kohanim. The Mishnah in Tomei describes. Some, it's like palace guards, Lekovit, that you have guards in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Mishnah says they had to make sure they don't fall asleep on the job. Right? So the Mishnah says, in the first parak in Chulin, that Shonim only pasal by Levim, doesn't pasal by Kohanim, and Mumim only pasal by Kohanim, doesn't pasal by Levim, and the Shonim that pasal by the Levim is only in the Midbar because they had Masa B'Kosev. And the Doris, when they had Mishorim and Shoyarim, so there's no maximum age, there's no forced retirement age. Yeah. The Soloveitchik family had a tradition that they were their Levim. So their tradition had it that they were descendants of the Meshoririm, of those who sang. So when the Russian... They had terrible voices, yeah. So when the Russian... Right, so when the Russian government required that they should take family names, so they adopted the name Soloveitchik, which means nightingale, because they used to sing well in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So you have to have... You have to have separate levim for mishorim, a separate levim for shoyarim to lock the gates. Yeah. So the levim had to do shira in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has a machlokes: is ike shira b'peh or ike shira b'kli? Are you yotze that that's a b'di'evad? If the levim sang, but they didn't play any musical instrument, are you yotze b'di'evad? Because the ike shira b'peh. And the kli is only levasume kola, to make the singing even sweeter. Levasume, to enhance it, to make it sweeter. But he say, no, ike shira b'kli. If you only sing, the levim sing the shir shal yom, and they didn't play music, you're not yet to the mitzvah of shira. So that's hamachlekes in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, if one should hold ike shira b'kli, so the Gemara says there are different types of musical instruments. So some of the musical instruments that they used were wooden flutes. So if you hold the kashir b'peh and the kli is only liyasa seis ahida mitzvah, then you can't prove anything from the fact that they had wooden flutes. But if you hold ikashira b'kli, and shira is an avoida, it's not an avoida that you need a kohen, it's an avoida salavim. So you see that a wooden klisharis is acceptable. So the Gemara says one tana holds, you learn out from the abuf. They used to have the wooden flutes in the Beis HaMikdash. He learned out from the wooden flutes that a klishoris shaleitz is acceptable. The other Tana says, Vezok, maybe ikish, you can ding zech for two, on two accounts. Number one, you can ding zech if you hold ikishir b'peh, and the singing and the klis only levasumi kol, it's not likuva. So you can't bring any raya. You can't say that the abuv shaleitz, the wooden flute, is a raya that a klishoris of wood is good. And even if you hold ikishir b'kli, But a flute he can't make from metal. If you make a flute from metal, it's not going to sound the same as a wooden flute. So the Gemara says, Ein dorim epsher mishi epsher. You want to learn a mamotzinu, that just like a wooden flute is acceptable, so to a wooden klishoris is also acceptable. There's no tushtel. A wooden flute, yepsher bin yinacher. It's not gonna have the same kind of a sound. Hashem came by klisharis to carry the mincha or to carry the dam to be zorek on the mizbeach. Since it's efshe, it's exactly the same. It's efshe to use a metal kli. So the Gemara says zayim dorim efshe mishi efshe. So the Gemara has a sukkah this machloikas. The Gemara has it here. It's a machloikas hatanoim. Is there such a din that klisharis for the purpose of zrikas adam and for the purpose of a mincha and the kiddush hakoymitz and so on? Is there a din that klisharis must be dafke metal? Doesn't have to be precious metal. Does it have to be dafke metal, or is wood also acceptable? The Tanu who says that wood is good is based on the Abub Shal Moshe, that the wooden flute that Moshe Rabbeinu allowed the Levim to use in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, you're telling me a taich in the Mishnah. When it says in the Mishnah, kolam anochis tchilasim asofam b'klisharis, it doesn't mean literally that the Balabas should bring the mincha to the Beis Hamikdash and the klisharis. Where's he going to get a klisharis in the hotel room? He's sleeping in the hotel. It means kolak manochis tchilasim in a metal kli. The soifon in a real klisharis. Before you do the kmitzah, you have to actually put it in klisharis. But tchilos in klisharis doesn't mean literally klisharis. It means tchilos on the kli matechas. So why do we give it a nickname klisharis? Because only matechas is roy to serve as a klisharis. So Gemara says, wait a minute, this taich that you're giving me in the Mishnah is totally in a machlokes hatanoim. Zog di Gemara, kimman, whose opinion are you using? The loike Reb Yosi b'Reb Yehuda. You're interpreting the Mishnah against that Tana. The Tanya, we have a Braisa, Klisharis Ason Shalaitz. What if you made a wooden Klisharis? Rabbi Poisel, where Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds a wooden Klisharis is also good. So how can you teach the Mishnah, Tchilosan, the Klisharis means when you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't use wood. Here by the Mincha Soita, he brings it in a Kfifa Mitzvah, in a wooden Kli. But by all other menachas, you shouldn't bring in a wooden kli, you should bring dafke in a metal kli. That you, this whole taich in the Mishnah is only if you hold like Rebbe, the Rebbe Pesel. Rebbe holds that klisharis made from wood is not acceptable. But if you hold like Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, wooden klisharis is good, so the mincha seita is also tchilasa b'kli haroyle klisharis, because the kvifa mitzvah is wood, so wood is also good. That's the Gemara's taina. So then for the Gemara, no, it's still not the same. The Tana, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says wood is good. This kind of wood is nice wood, but a wicker basket that just has strings of wood, that's l'chol haday is no good. Even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's no good.
And it's having a big korum. They've already been korum. The wealth of us brought in silver and gold, and the poor ones brought them in wood, and they had
a reason
there. Couldn't
even
take advantage of it.
Right, right.
Lini ginah from a techet is a better voice than from wood, no?
What is it better?
Better than good, cleaning enough from a techet. This is a better voice, clearer voice than
different sound. Wood. It's a different sound. The Gemara says they wanted the sound of the wooden flute. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's called Avub Shal Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the sound of a wooden flute. They didn't want a metal flute as a different sound, but they had a wooden flute also. So that's the whole discussion begins because the Levim used to use wooden flutes. So one Tana holds a mamatzinu. If you hold wooden flute is acceptable, so it shows that wooden klisharis is good. And the other Tanoim disagree for one reason or another. So that's what the Gemara answers. I feel the time of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The taich that we gave in the Mishnah could even follow Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. He holds a wooden kelim are good for klisharis, but a wicker basket is no good. Shalom Netzorim is no good. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, when does he say, b'chashuvim? If it's a chashuv wood, like this kind of wood, a solid wooden basket. Why? The Navi Malachi says, he's talking about Vahabesem Gozalas HaPisech Vesachela. You're going to bring sickly animals to the Beis HaMikdash, strictly speaking, Sanishkin Balmum. But it's a chela, it's a sick animal, it's not the Kovedik. If you would give this animal as a matana to a pecho, to a governor of the area, a secular governor, a pecho, pecho Yehuda, the pasuk says, would he accept it? He would be furious. Well, you give me a matana, an old sick animal. So too, the Rabban Shalom says, what are you bringing karbonis, even though it's not a balmum? Don't bring me a choyla. Don't bring me any choyla. The Rambam writes, we mentioned before that by oifus there's no psula balmum, but if it's b'chusa reva, then it's no good. So the Rambam says, the reason why b'chusa reva is no good is not because such a mum gadol, so that mum passels, and if it will be mum gadol, then it would have pidyon. And the Gemara says, ain't pidyon loifus. There's no din on mum by oifus. Even if it's b'chusa okay. reva, it's not a mum. So why is it passel? So the Rambam quotes this pasuk, hakaveh no lefecha secha. Would you give it as a gift to a melech, an animal that's mechusa reiver? So that's why it's possible even by the Eved, if you bring a korban oif, that's a mechusa reiver. Then the Gemara is going to comment on the loshen of the Brisa. The Brisa said twice, repeated the loshen. You put the mincha in the klishares, and you magdash it in the klishares. Then after you do the kemitza, you take the kaimitz, put it into another klishares, you put it into the klishares, and you makdash in the klishares. What's the second loshen? You put it in, it's already kaddish. So it sounds like if it's just by accident, if it's in the klishares, and you didn't have in mind to be makdash it, it doesn't become kaddish automatically. So the Gemara says, Shamas mino, it seems to imply from the Brisa, klisharis emikacha melamidas. You have to have in mind, it's not enough that it happens to be in the klisharis. You have to have in mind, mikacha be klisharis. Everything more name, maybe what it means to say is the ema zagazai. It's like a hagor. He's saying you should correct the text of the Brisa, or you should interpret the text of the Brisa. When it says, Nosnam b'klisharis and mikacha, what it means, Nosnam b'klisharis, l'kacha b'klisharis. He puts it in the klisharis, and emela, it will become kaddish. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the ferish and zin. So that's a machlekes in sukkah. It says on the side, sukkah dafnun. The end of Masech sukkah, that's a machlekes atanoim. Whether the klisharis mikachim only midas, or afilu shalai midas. Then the Gemara continues with the running commentary on a line by line of the Brisa. V'nosnam aleho sham no levainasa. All normal karbonis mincha have shemen olavaina. So you have to pour in the shemen, you have to stir the shemen lahatchila, blila, and you put the whole levaina. And then before you do the kmitza, you have to remove all of the levaina to the side, and then do the kmitza, mimokim shenisra b'shamna. So the Gemara says, how do you know that every normal mincha needs shemen olavaina? Shenema, it says so. Yotel leh shemen v'nasa leh levaina. Then it says, molicha etzal hakoin. You have to give it to the kohen, that the kohen should do the hagosha. By the Karen Marovis Dromis, the Chudu Shal Karen in the Kohen. How do you know? Dichsiv Heviel Bnei Aharon Akoinim. It says so beferish that the Kohen should do the bringing to the Kohen. This practice that they had in the Beis Hamikdash, they only allowed Ezra Yisrael, was only the first 11 Amos. That's only Midirabbanan. That's not a Din Menatoira. But so Menatoira, a Yisrael is allowed to walk all over the Azor. So what I permit a Yisrael to take the Mincha and the Kli and put it in the corner. The Gemara says, no, that says in the Pasuk, that has to be done by a Kohen. Mid the Rabbanon that the non-Kohanim can't walk past the first 11 Amos, the Mizbech is further in. So it's a dead giveaway that you need a Kohen to do the Hagosha. But on the level of the Raisa, the Gemara says, also, even though the Minatora, the Yisraelim, are allowed to walk past the first 11 Amos, that's only a Maila mid the Rabbanon. The Gemara Chagiga calls it Mailas, Chumris mid the Rabbanon. But still, this din that Hagosha has to be b'chudu shel keren in the corner, that has to be a coin. That says b'ferish. V'heviel ben Aharon HaKohen. Then v'koy malich etzol ha-mizbeach, the din of Hagosha, that before you do the kmitza, you're supposed to take the kli and have the kli touch the corner. V'chsiv higisho etzol ha-mizbeach. Then v'gisho b'keren d'romis marovis, k'neg b'chudu shel keren v'dayo. What does that mean? How do you know? How do you know it has to be this corner? So g'dimar minolon d'chsiv. Because it said there are two psukim in Chumash that seem to contradict each other. It says Zostaros Hamincha Hakrivas Ben Aharon Lefnei Hashem El Pnei Hamizbech. Now Lefnei Hashem means when you're looking straight ahead in the Beis Hamikdash, you're looking to Meirav, and the Hechel is right in front of you, and the Kodesh Kadoshim is inside. So this is Lefnei Hashem. This side of the Mizbeach, the western side, is Lefnei Hashem. Pnei Hamizbeach. There's a kevish over here. So Pnei HaMizbech is the front of the Mizbech. So Lefnei Hashem is this side. Pnei HaMizbech is this side. So it's astira. So how do you do both? So the Gemara says, the corner over here is Lefnei Hashem, and it's Pnei HaMizbech. Pnei HaMizbech is the side where the kevish is, where the people walk up. And Lifnei Hashem is facing the Heichal, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what the Gemara says, that's the Mokker. Dichsiv, Zos, Taras, HaMincha, HaKrivos, Ibn Aharon, Lifnei Hashem, El Pnei HaMizbech, V'tanya, we have a Braisa, Lifnei Hashem, Yochal B'mayrav, that's what it means, Lifnei Hashem, the western side, Tamalama, Pnei HaMizbech, Ayi, El Pnei HaMizbech, Yochal B'dorim, this side is Pnei HaMizbech, where the Kevish is, Tamalama, Lifnei Hashem. So how do you satisfy both of that contradiction? Okay, it's a Megish, a Mekaren, a Rav, Rav, is Kenei, Yechudosh, Al Karen, Shoin, V'dayo. The Gemara is going to explain, what does it mean, vidayo? What is that? That's genuk. What more do you want? So the Gemara is going to explain, you shouldn't think that you have to tilt the kli shore so that the flower of the mincha should touch the chudu shall carry it. It's enough if the outside of the kli touches. Fine. That's why it says vidayo. So the first Tana says that the kli shore that has the mincha should touch this corner. The next Tana disagrees. Rav Lozer Amer, yochel yagishene b'marova shall carry in, or lidroma shall carry in. Marav Shal Karen is over here. Myrav. Myrav is straight ahead. Droma Shal Karen is over here. On this side. Because Safin is the right hand side of the Azar. So the left hand side is Dorm. So he says, Yochol, let's see. Rav Lezer in there. Yochol Yagishen, Ben Marav Shal Karen, or the Droma Shal Karen, Amrit. The rule is, Kol Mokam Shatamor Tishnei Mikrois. I have two psukim that seem to contradict each other. If you do one way, you'll satisfy both psukim. If you do the mitzvah in another way, the other pasuk, the two psukim seem to contradict each other. If you follow pasuk A, it'll be in contradiction to B. If you follow B, it'll be you'll satisfy both A and B. So do it in the way that you'll satisfy both. Echad one, if you do it based on one pasuk, mekayim atzma b'al tlivich averoi, and the one is mekayim divri atzma and mekayim divri averoi. So the choice is obvious. Menichim, we ignore eshe mekayim atzma b'al tlivich averoi. Don't do the mitzvah in the way that you'll be in violation of one of the psukim. V'topsim, you should do the mitzvah in the way eshe mekayim atzma mekayim divri averoi. So what is he driving at? So he explains. Keshatoy melefnei Hashem b'mayrif. If you're going to bring the mincha, the klisharis, the mirav over here, going to have a touch over here, anywhere on this side of the mizbech, that's all. So you're only mekayim the pasuk lifnei Hashem, you're not mekayim pnei mizbech. Bitaltal pnei mizbech. Bidorim. However, ukushato oimer al pnei mizbech bidorim, but if you do the hagosha in dorim over here, not only are you mekayim pnei mizbech, kiyamta lifnei Hashem b'mayrav, you yotze both. How come? How is it you yotze both? But lifnei Hashem means facing the heichal. How is that lifnei Hashem? Okay, so megisha the drum shall keren. So this Tana Rav Lezer says you don't have to put it dafke chudu shall keren. If you put it over here, it's also good. So the Gemara asked, how did you satisfy lifnei Hashem? Echen kiyamta. I see. If you put the klisharis over here, you yotze pnei hamizbeach. But you're not yotze lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is somewhere over here, in front of the heichal. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, there's a big machlekes hatanoim. All the tanoim lived after the churban Bayis Sheni, so they never saw the Beis Hamikdash. They're not sure exactly where was the mizbech. So one opinion is the mizbech was centered. If I would build the Beis Hamikdash, I would center the mizbech. They didn't invite me to build the Beis Hamikdash. So one Tana holds the whole mizbech was Bitzofen. You draw a line, half of this, the right hand side of the Azorah is Tzofen, the left hand of the Azorah is Dorim. So instead of the Mizbeach being centered, half and Tzofen, the whole Mizbeach was to the right. So if you put the Klisharis with the Mincha over here, it's right in front of the opening of the Hechel, because the Hechel is centered. The Hechel is centered. So Lifnei Hashem, if you put it Bedorim over here, that's Lifnei Hashem. Because the whole mizbech is b'tzofein, so the dorm side of the mizbech is facing the hechel. That's what the Gemara says. That's why the Tana Rav Lezer says that if you put it b'dorm, you're satisfying both. You don't have to put it b'chudu shal keren. Tana Kama holds not so. Tana Kama holds the mizbech is not all b'tzofein. The mizbech is centered. So if you got to bring the mincha over here, it's not lifnei Hashem. So lifnei Hashem has to be somewhere over here. So you need chudu shal keren. Rav Lezer holds the whole mizbech was b'tzofein. Then the Gemara says, "My vidaya." Why does it say that's sufficient? What more would you want? Gemara says one would have thought maybe you have to tilt the kli in such a way that the flower inside, the solus inside the kli, should be touching churish al mizbeach. Gemara says no, it's enough if the kli touches. Amar Avashi Yitzrich, Salkadat Hamin, one might have thought the boy Hagoshas Mincha Gufo, the flower that's in the kli, should touch the corner. Kamash Malon, that it's not necessary. Then the Gemara says, how do you know that it's so? So the Gemara learns it out from Pasuk that it's so. It's sufficient if the kli touches the chudush al keren. Yeah. Okay, in other mesichtas, in Yuma, in other mesichtas, they talk about this. How was the Mizbech located? None of the Tanoim saw the Bayesheni. They were all guessing. You have Josephus was there in the Bayesheni. He talks about all these, but there are theories in Josephus also.
How
come Rav Tarfon didn't know? He was there in the Beis Hamikdash.
So
I don't know. They forgot to ask Rav Tarfon. The Stama the Machlokes happened after Rav Tarfon passed away. He was there. He would have remembered. These Tanoim are probably after the days of Rav Tarfon. You're right. Okay. At the end of the parsha, you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. So in the Chumash, it says you're supposed to use trelas. Shaila, how many chutim of trelas you have to have? Different opinions. In Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that's quoted is Rashi and Tosfos, that you're supposed to have two long strings of white and two long strings of trelas. For so many years, we haven't had trelas, but we have dinim in the Shulchan Aruch that are based on the assumption we have had dinim that were noig the last few centuries. Based on the assumption, like Rashi and Tosfos and the Gemara in Perakat Trelas, that it's two long strings of Trelas and two long strings of Lavan. So the Shad is, what color is the Trelas? What color is it? So the Gemara says that Bismana Tanaim, they were fakers who were selling wool that was dyed with Klo Ilon, and the Oruch is a dictionary that was written by one of the Rishonim, Rav Nosson Meiraimi. So he writes that Klo Ilon is indigo. Indigo, we know. Indigo comes from a vegetable, and it's blue. So the Gemara says there were fakers who were selling woolen strings that were dyed with kloilin, with indigo, and claiming that it was trelis. So if trelis is purple, a trelis is orange, a trelis is green, so how could they fool the public? Indigo is not blue. So obviously the color of trelis is the same color as indigo. The shaila is it dark blue, or is it light blue? Indigo, it depends how much you dilute it. Do you pour in a lot of water? Do you pour in a little bit of water? So that's not, that you can't tell. Indigo could be either very dark blue or light blue. So that's interesting. That's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam says that the trelis is the color of the sky in the afternoon. Beautiful light blue color. In other words, you should dilute the trelis. You should mix in a little water, so it shouldn't be dark blue. And Rashi and Chumash writes that the trelis is supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight. The trelis is miloshen tichlo, deaf.
Almost black.
And it's almost black.
Yeah,
very dark. Very, very dark blue. And it's supposed to represent Makas Bechoris. That the Bechore Mitzrayim died at midnight. So this is supposed to represent Makas Bechoris. I remember many years ago I was in Los Angeles, so some balabos meets me. And he asks me, are there any sources in the Talmud that the trelis is poisonous?
Is it what?
Poisonous. So I said, what do you have up your sleeve? So he tells me he works for the federal government, he's a chemist, and his job is to test all of the dyes in clothing that it shouldn't be poisonous. Because children, and sometimes adults, will chew on their sweaters, they'll chew on their clothing. So if it's poisonous, so it's a sakana. So you're not supposed to use dyes that are poisonous. So he says he has nothing better to do. So he tested the trelis, and he says the trelis that they have in Eretz Yisrael now is a little poisonous. So he wants to know, are there any sources in Chazal? So I said the only thing that comes to mind is the Rashi. The Rashi claims on Chumash that trelis is miloshen tichla, death to the Mitzrayim. That's supposed to represent Makas Becharis. So maybe it's supposed to be poisonous. I remember every year on Gimel Shvat, Rav Soloveitchik used to have yahrzeit for his father. They always used to give a big yahrzeit shiur. So he always used to give a shiur on kiddush, on abdallah, on benching, on tzitzis, on tefillin. One year he gave a shiur on shtoris. And Oisius Niknas B'Ksivim Mesir, he said, every year he says a shiur on Arachayim Dikazach, and he never learned these things with his father. He learned with his father mainly Noshim and Ezekin and Kotshim, difficult things. So So one year he said his shir on shtaris and the oilam didn't follow. So the next year he said, last year we tried an experiment and it didn't work, and he's going back to Arachayim again. So one year when he gave a shir on tzitzis, he gave a shir on tcheles, he was talking about this machlaikis Rashi in the Rambam. So he said it's a fundamental machlaikis, and he was quoting some sources from the Zohar where the tcheles is supposed to represent midas adin, supposed to represent midas acheset. Rashi says that it's midas adin, supposed to represent midnight, makas b'chayres, tichla, death to the mitzrim. And the Rambam says the color of the sky in the afternoon, that's when the sun is shining, the daytime is midas acheset, the nighttime is midas adin and shaylet. Yeah. The minig always was that you have, the Ramah says a minig, that you have a white talus. Shlomo Kalbach introduced the psychedelic colors on a talus. But before the Rebbe Reb Shlomo came along, everybody followed the Ramah, that you have a white talus. So in Shulchan Aruch they give two reasons. So one reason is Alpi Kabbalah, the other reason is Alpi Nigla. So Alpi Kabbalah, they give the reason that in Daniel he has a vision of the Rebbe Shlom being an old man. Rebbe Shlom is already a few thousand years old. He's Kaidim Briyas Olam. He's how does it say? Sire, his hair is Ka'amar Noka, white is Tzemer.
Well,
Levushi Kitlag Chiver. The Rebbe Shlom is wearing a malbush that's white as snow. Levushi Kitlag Chiver, like white snow. Tlag is sheleg, and sire, the hair of the Rebbeinu Shlomo is amar noka, like clean tzemer. Amar is tzemer. So the Mekubalim, the Sefer Chassidim quotes this from the Mekubalim, that Daniel had a vision of the Rebbeinu Shlomo wearing a talus. So it says that the talus was a white talus, that we should wear a talus the same color as the Rebbeinu Shlomo's talus. That's Alpi Kabbalah. Then the Ramah has Alpi Nigla. There's another reason why the talus should be white. Because you're going to make the talus green or orange or purple, then the Rambam's opinion is that hakonaf min konaf, that the color of the chute lavon, the trelis is supposed to be trelis strings. The lavon, the Rambam's opinion, is supposed to be colored whatever color the beged is. So if the beged is green, the lavon string should be green. If the beged is white, the chutim should be white. If the beged is orange, the chutim should be orange. And the other Rishonim disagree. There ain't no such din. Akonim bin Konim is on the material. If you have a silk beged, you're allowed to use chutim of silk. If you have a cotton beged, you can use chutim of cotton. Whatever material the beged is made of, you can use the chutim from that material. But there's no such requirement for the color. So the Ramah says, Alpi Nigla, in order not to get involved in the machlekes, the Ramah, the other Rishonim, so we make a white beged, and the chutim have to be white, l'chol adeis, ois machlekes. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the only minig always was the beged is white, except you have a stripe on the bottom, zecher l'tcheles, because we haven't had tcheles for so many generations, so you have zecher l'tcheles. So there were two minhagim. What color is that bar?
Maybe black stripes.
So most of the people have black stripes.
Yeah, black. Mm-hmm.
Black, that's like Rashi, the color of the sky at midnight is kemat black. So the black stripe is supposed to be zecher l'tcheles according to Rashi. And others have blue stripes, that's like the Rambam. It should be the color of the sky in the daytime, the afternoon, not the color of the sky at midnight. Yeah.
The Israeli flag, is it supposed to be a
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Very good. Everyone should have a pleasant summer. This is the last shiur for the season.
We have, after Meiriv, we have a tikkun, and you'll stay tuned to when we'll start the shiur, probably the week after Labor Day.